Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
We all know Amazon has amazing deals and free shipping on orders over $25. If you use our link on our website, TagCastPodcast.com, we'll get a small kickback and you'll be supporting our show. Just go to the top right hand of our website, TagCastPodcast.com, and click on the link.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
See, because I paid a late for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
What happened to all the lighters?
I have one. I lost my blue one, so I used a brown
this
one.
This one, is it mine?
Okay, I got that one's mine.
I had a blue one that's probably in my pocket right now, but...
Hello, and welcome to the TagCast Bonusode 3.
Hello!
This week, I am Gatch.
I am Terry.
And I'm Dan.
We are here with Dan Kroll, guest, and we are talking about heavy metal and hard rock and heavy rock albums of 1986.
I think we're all kind of drunk, aren't we? This is our first intoxication podcast. No, Jerry Murphy brought some Jägermeister over once, but we've been drinking some pig beer.
Yeah.
And we're having a good
time
over here.
Thank you to Oregon Trail and Pedicab for hooking us up with the pig beer.
And for those of you metal fans who are into 1986 metal, you know that that was Slayer, Criminally Insane, from the Rain and Blood album, which to me was one of the pinnacle metal albums of 1986. I had just graduated from high school, and that thing, I wore that tape out. You know, if you bought that cassette, it was only 28 minutes, the full album.
Uh-huh.
They had it on both sides. So, like, when you got done with the album, you just flip it over and listen to it again.
Nice. So was there auto-reverse going on then?
I had, only if you were, like, rich enough or sold enough weed to save enough money to buy an auto-reverse.
Players were expensive back when they first came out, weren't they? They were, like, $600.
Do you still use a tape player, Dan?
Believe it or not, I just found one for $3 at an estate sale.
$3?
Wow. And it has the ability to record and everything. It doesn't rewind and fast-forward very well, so you just have to play the tape out. We play it for our son to go to sleep to, but at the end of the tape, it's this loud, sudden as it stops, and he always screams in the same fashion.
That's just awesome.
And he's like that? Tape is over.
You guys should put up a recorder that turns on right before it goes.
See?
And then you could maybe.
You guys need the auto reverse going on, like
something.
Yeah.
Something. CDs are better, but you know.
The last
those machines malfunction too.
And the last tape player I bought was at Goodwill, and it was like $25. But it was a Sony auto reverse, separate level, two recorders, and so it worked for about a year. But you know the motors go out or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I got like three of those little ones with the speaker and everything. I don't know if that's the one you're talking about with the just little flat. With the wah.
No,
this is like a piece that maybe a journalist in the 1970s would have used. Yeah. It's a little handheld kind of recorder thing, and it's got an internal condenser mic. And $3 at an estate sale.
Hey,
that's a good deal.
Can't beat $3.
I know you can't even get a box of 20 nuggets for $3 these days, can you?
Chicken?
This is chicken McNuggets.
Yeah,
but that's not real chicken, is it?
It's pink slime.
It is pink slime.
I've
seen
that.
But it's still better than the hamburgers.
And you know, the first explanation I saw for the pink slime, which, by the way, has nothing to do with metal albums of 1986, but then I heard it was debunked. Somebody said, go to Snopes.com, and I went to Snopes, and it told me that it's not really beaks and everything. It's just the other parts. But
this chopped up, processed, over-processed crap.
What are you, chicken?
All right. If somebody tells me to go to Snopes, I say Snope way.
Snope way, dude. So you were like 10, 1986?
Yeah, I was.
Were you
10.
Listening to metal yet?
Yeah, probably in not. 1984, I was rotating Sgt. Pepper's and
metal.
Shout at the Devil.
Shout the Devil metal.
So Sgt. At this Pepper's time, not I was, metal. I was probably listening to, I was just getting out of the radio phase of like that one Wild West song. Wild West.
Was that from the movie of Will Smith?
No, it was way before that.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Because Will Smith did his own Living soundtrack for Wild
Living in the Wild Wild West.
In 1986, I was listening to Christian tapes. I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Last
wow.
time we talked about tapes of 1980, and I was probably listening to Raffy.
I heard some Raffies.
And our guest knew didn't
our
know
son
who
likes
Raffy.
Yeah,
I've heard
Raffy's
of him.
Good stuff. You know, growing up, I like some
very
Raffy.
Simple. Yeah.
See
yeah.
now,
he doesn't have that great of a singing voice. It's very almost non-distinct.
To it since probably the third grade in school. But
if you listen to it now, it's very non-distinct.
Doesn't he have like a creepy mustache?
I don't know. That's John Waters you're thinking of.
Yeah,
I think I was thinking of
the other kids.
Yanni.
Musician.
Yanni's coming to Eugene also at July 31st.
Wonder what
I can do some Yanni.
I only
Yanni.
Know this because I'm going to be pedicabbing it.
Right.
I can do some Yanni.
I wonder what I wonder what Yanni was doing in 1986.
He was
beating it.
Jerry curling his hair.
So that's possibly, but that's weird.
Such respect
around.
We show to Yanni on this.
We love you, Yanni. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you in part by Yanni.
And his lube.
Go to Amazon through our tech.
His lube
Yanni,
and Jerry Curl, one
Yanni.
Of the same.
Yanni.com. So in 1986, I was...
listening to Prince.
I was in 12th grade. I was graduating in June of the 1986. That shows you how old I am.
Uh-huh. So you probably have a defining memory of what came out before June in 86 and what came out after.
No, my mind is too clouded with...
I was going to say, it was the 80s. His
my
mind clouded.
Is clouded with marijuana
well, I
smoke.
I thought maybe.
But I do remember buying Rain and Blood and listening to the tape, the double-sided tape that didn't have a side one or side two. Uh-huh. You just listen to the whole thing over and over again. Yeah. But there was such... Megadeth, Peace Sells, who's buying...
Yeah,
were you probably weren't listening to that then.
Not
right?
then, but no, but it's a great album.
But were you listening to like anything like Poison? Look What the Cat Dragged In, that
yeah,
came out.
Yeah, I was probably getting into that.
Was that
probably,
Unskinny Bop?
No, that was Unskinny Bop was like three albums.
Yeah, that was later.
Okay.
I remember it.
But
it was
I probably
MTV.
Got into Poison on the Open Up and Say Ah when the controversial thing came out and they were starting to get big.
See?
But then I went back to Look What the Cat Dragged In. And I don't know, there's some weird stuff going on. But I... Was Skid Row out at that point?
No.
Or was that like 87, 88?
That was 87.
What about Exodus?
Exodus, I think they must have skipped. Now, they had an 84 album and they had an 85, and then I think they were touring or something.
What about Metal Church?
Metal Church, that is. They had an album called The Dark, 1986, and that was when they had just got their new singer, which I don't even remember the old guy's name, but he had a different style.
Yeah.
I had that tape for sure. I don't think I have it anymore.
Metal Church tape?
Yeah, Metal Church tape. Now, you were talking about listening to Christian tapes when you were five. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to Striper, To Hell with the Devil?
Not that album, but In God We Trust.
Okay,
I remember getting that from the library on tape.
See, now my dad kind of like, my sister, I hope you're listening, Sandy. She made the mistake of one time we were on our way to a Bible study in Sweet Home with my dad and my stepmom. And we brought the boombox with us, and we were listening to Slayer Hell Awaits, and there's a song called Necrophiliac.
What?
Yeah. And they didn't really care or seem to notice that the song was about fucking dead people, but then at the middle of the song, during the bridge, it says, I'll take you down to the burning pits of hell. And they heard that loud and clear, right? And so from that day on, we weren't allowed really to listen to that type of music in the house. My dad knew that I was still listening to it, but I lost a girlfriend over it because it was a Saturday night, and my dad made me stay home and take down all my Hit Parader pinups from my Hit Parader magazine, you know, the centerfolds of Wasp and Slayer and all those guys, whoever it was. And so I had to spend a whole Saturday night taking down posters, neatly folding them away because I knew I'd put them back up someday. And my girlfriend went out and fucked another guy. Well, I was 16.
She wasn't meant to be.
Nope, she wasn't.
That's what the devil music will do to you.
Yep, it'll make your girlfriend fuck other people. Yep.
I once had a bunch of pinups from metal magazines on this cheesy hutch that my parents had stored in my bedroom because they didn't have anywhere else to put it. Yeah. And I put all these pictures from like Hit Parader and Metal Maniacs and other magazines.
Right.
And my mom used to call it my shrine. It's like,
yep.
There's your shrine to your heavy metal music.
And my dad.
Were you cursed by Satan, though, and have your girlfriend?
Oh, probably,
go out
dude.
And fuck another guy?
Junior high was a fucky time. I'm sure it was cursed by Satan.
My dad thought that it was weird, and he questioned me at this. He said, "Why don't you have any girls on your wall? You know,
they look like girls, Dad.
Bruce
look
Dickinson,
at them.
Yeah. Blackie Lawless with a mouth full of blood and some raw meat hanging out of his chin."
You didn't have any Samantha Fox? Would this be around that time?
I think I had
Tiffany or Debbie Gibson.
You know, I had that Lita Ford poster where she's posing with her BC Rich and she's got her black skirt on. Yeah. Like, oh.
Was that what inspired you to get your BC Rich bitch?
No, it was actually a combination between Jeff Hanneman from Slayer and Dave Mustaine, who both played BC Rich bitches.
Oh, wow.
With lots of stickers, so I bought one.
And with lots of switches and knobs?
Yes, and I was like, wow, look at all those switches and knobs. I should get that. That must make you sound even better.
What about the gal from, she was in the band Teenage Jesus and the Jerks. She did Spoken Word.
I've never
heard
of
her. What was her name?
Paula Poundstone.
Awesome. I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. Oh, Lydia Lunch.
Oh, I know her, but I don't know the band that you just spoke of.
Teenage Jesus and the Jerks, a no-wave band from the late 70s.
Now, my good friend Pat Wambacher, he's a big fan of Lydia Lunch because of his mother, and they used to play her on Dr. Demento sometimes.
She was in. She was an actress in Richard Kern films. Oh. She did a lot of spoken word and some noise projects. I'm not a big fan of her, but I mean, I appreciate her existence.
I'm not a big fan of Lydia Lunch, but I'm a big fan of losing my lunch.
Oh.
Me too, when appropriate. Sometimes it tastes better on the way up, especially if you've eaten Taco Bell.
Yeah, it tastes
and their
like
mystery
shit
meat.
Now, I shouldn't assume this, but I kind of assume, as I shouldn't, that you guys probably were into Ozzy by then? No?
I only like Shot in the Dark. That's the only Ozzy song I like.
Well, that was released this year on
Ultimate Sin, 1986. Well, I remember listening to my cousin's Bark at the Moon when that came out, but that was like, what?
85.
He was forbidden for me at that time in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so,
you know,
I mean,
Bark
I got,
at the Moon, dude, he had like Wolfman.
That stuff kind of scared me a little bit. I mean, well, I guess I was, what, nine?
I would have loved it at that
time. I was a little bit leery.
On, you know,
well, I mean, it wasn't like I ran away from it or anything, but it was just like, I guess I should say it was eerie dark.
It was disturbing to you?
It was a eerie dark music. It was darker music than, you know, like the Journey records my aunt was playing.
Yeah, for sure. I was still probably rocking some Journey from time to time then, even though, you know, I'd gotten into heavy metal and listening to Judas Priest, which, speaking of Judas Priest, they...
My family listened to a lot of, you know, the harder rock of the 70s and stuff.
It brings me to my next point is, you know, you guys being younger than me, you probably didn't already have expectations built for bands. But for me, some of the albums that, like, I'm waiting for this new band or this new album by a band I love, and they've taken a different direction, and it just sucks, which is Turbo by Judas Priest. That's where they first introduced synth guitar and singing more about what we didn't know at the time were, like, blatant gay references.
Oh, God.
I'm your Turbo lover.
That song kicks ass.
You like that song?
I really do.
I that's where I lost
it. Gets me going.
And there was another song off that album called, I probably won't be able to, I won't be able to remember it now, but...
Ram It?
No. Ram It Down. That was off Defenders of the Faith. But, yeah, there was a few that I guess I kind of liked, but I just was, I don't know. Iron Maiden was doing the same thing somewhere in time.
But, I mean, what about, you know, like Yngwie Malmsteen?
He had an album. That's
don't you think it was kind of
or,
a...
Or Don Dokken.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about
it
Don Dokken yet.
It was an interesting time, though, of music, though, wasn't it? Because it was almost an in-between period in my eyes, because Guns N' Roses came out in 87 with Appetite, and that seemed to be like a turning point in music.
Yeah, but at this point...
It was going away from the hair metal kind of stuff, you know.
At this point in 86, even they didn't have an album out, they were playing. At that time, they were coming up.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses. So, you know.
Yeah.
But hair metal
was
big.
There was kind of...
Back to Yngwie Malmsteen. Is it listed on that list?
Trilogy, yeah. That was his Trilogy album.
Can you pull up a track from Trilogy?
I probably could.
But
come on, guys. That's some true motherfucking metal.
Do you like it? Or
I'm iffy on it.
Yeah,
it seems like it was an in-between period where people, you know, were kind of trying to figure out what the next big musical thing was going to be.
That's
Which
true.
Who the fuck knows in the 80s? And you look at the hair, the fashion, the music, it's like people were like lost in the dark.
They were. They were. They were trying to find what identity was going to explode next. You know, to me.
Yeah.
You know, and even
new wave music, even though it's not,
you know.
If you
look at Guns N' Roses in the early days, even on Appetite, they were total glam. And even Pantera back in those days around that when they were releasing
Cowboys
albums,
from Hell.
They were, you know, glam.
When did Cowboys from Hell come out?
That was 90.
Yeah.
But they kind of shied away.
They were still making albums, but they were, you know, they were total glam.
Power metal. Yeah. That was what we covered that on. Oh, that was 87.
Didn't Phil have the hair?
Yeah, he did. Like big,
he had, like,
big
glam
hair. You know? But yeah, I kind of got into Yngwie Malmsteen because he blew my mind with his playing abilities. But you said the music was kind of changing. I also noticed that there was some heavier bands starting to come around there. Like there's one tape that I had that I really enjoyed was by Dark Angel.
Uh-huh.
I remember them. The Asian group, right?
No.
Angel?
No.
I'm thinking of Angel of Death or Death Angel.
Death Angel,
that's
what
I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they were like Filipinos. But Dark Angel had an album called Darkness Descends in 1986, and I listened to the shit out of that. Their drummer ended up being Gene Hoglan, who is recently filling in for Anthrax as a drummer, Charlie Benante. He's played with Testament, Fear Factory. He toured with Death Clock as their drummer for Metalocalypse.
Mm-hmm. And he did movie reviews with
Gene
Roger
Hoglan?
Ebert.
Are you sure?
Oh, wait, that's Gene Siskel.
Siskel. Yeah, but no, so there was heavier stuff coming out. I was trying to find this.
I was listening to you got something rolling?
He just wanted to hear a little bit of this Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yeah.
But
I was listening.
It's giving me a hard time. Go ahead.
AC/DC, Who Made Who, probably at that time.
That was kind of a greatest hits, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't Who Made Who new?
What?
Wasn't Who Made Who new on that album?
Yeah, that's the one song.
Yeah. But Maximum Overdrive, that was that year movie, right, with Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
I watched
that. And
that
was the soundtrack of that movie.
Yeah.
Quick question about AC/DC. How did they get so popular with the kids? What the fuck is with all these 11-year-olds wearing AC/DC shirts? Do they even know who that is?
They sell them in Walmart, and their parents will buy them for them for $5. So that's, I think, why they...
It's been going on for at least 10 years.
Because they listen to AC/DC, and they're safe for their parents because they know who they are, rather than Skrillex.
Skrillex?
Skrillex. I'm still... The way I heard of Skrillex, he was on Harmony Korine, filmmaker, maker of Gummo, Kids... Julian Donkey Boy. He, on his Facebook page, posted a picture of himself with Skrillex, and all the comments were negative. Like, why are you posing with him? He's awful. Please tell me his music's not in your next film. And I was like, who is this guy? That's how I looked into Skrillex and figured out who it was. And
you thought it was some late night paid programming for a new pan or something?
I figured it was a musician, and I figured correctly it was a musician. I didn't know who it was because I'm a little out of the loop, you know.
Right.
31 years old and just kind of not necessarily stuck in my ways, but the new music I want to hear is usually electronic or like no wave, noisecore,
right?
You know, post punk or you know,
stuff that most people don't think is good.
Yeah, stuff that actually...
Which I like that. I like liking music that most people don't because it seems like there's more for me to enjoy.
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, there's just some music, it's like, it's hard to explain. You know your mom would hate it or you know all your friends would hate it, but it just does something for you. Maybe it gives you chills or even brings a tear to your eye or just motivates you to do something.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've heard some kick-ass no-wave, which I asked you guys, you want to start a no-wave band.
But I don't even know if I know what that is.
I'll listen to the No-Core mixtape, and the No-Core mixtape is a podcast that features some kick-ass stuff.
I will check it out, and see, that's the people that I get pissed at is the people that say that we're not an informative podcast, because I'm learning shit myself. So I know some of you listeners are listening and learning. But do you guys think that Yngwie Malmsteen was like an innovator of the shredding stuff? Was he pre-Satriani or a little bit more metal, a little step up from the niceness of Satriani?
I just know him by his name.
You wouldn't know if you heard this right here.
All right, I'm closing my eyes. I don't know who you're playing.
Well, nothing's coming out now because I got faulty equipment. All I can find is live shit. But
is this Yngwie?
Yes.
Okay.
From Trilogy, 1986.
Is that Eric Johnson?
No, it's Yngwie.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I couldn't tell you it was Yngwie.
Yeah, that could be Yngwie or...
Let's listen to Yngwie.
It could be Jason Becker.
It sounds Satriani-ish to me. Those are Satriani-ish scales, right?
All it is scales, yep. Cleverly arranged scales, though.
Well, how what,
dude,
what
I'm going to go home and look up Yngwie Malmsteen on YouTube and just get a video mix going.
A scale is a scale, right, though? I mean...
But how fast can you play it?
Well, exactly, but like you said, cleverly written scales, so what
No,
does
cleverly
that mean?
Arranged.
Cleverly arranged, what does that mean?
Cleverly performed.
I mean, you just scale up and down, right? Just, I mean, how
yeah, but
it,
you mix
what
different...
What are you talking about, arranging?
You mix different modes of the scales that would only go together if you know what you're doing as far as music theory, like different... I can't even... I've been drinking. I can't think of any. I can't think
Let's
of any
just
of the
listen
modes.
To it.
Yeah. See, now he's just rocking out a little. It's live though, because that's all they're giving us. With the keyboard. Oh, you just missed it. He did a rock kick.
This almost sounds like Dream Theater, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's like a mix between that and like. The slow parts of Cradle of Filth with the keyboard.
Yeah, I was going to say Cradle of Filth or Morpheus.
Sound like I don't know what I'm talking about or whatever, probably, but
we don't
care. It's just nothing.
Is it boring to you?
Hey, yeah, it's amazing to watch or whatever, or listen to and go, wow, that guy's an amazing player. I don't hear the emotion in it. It just sounds like every other guy that's just running scales back and forth.
Yeah, if you
arranged.
Heard that run played by Joe Satriani and then Steve Vai and then Yngwie Malmsteen and then Jason Becker... And then,
yeah.
Could you know?
I used to get into the same
Paul
area.
Gilbert from Racer X.
I mean, they're very technical players, and they're astounding technical players.
He's got his fucking eyes closed right now, right?
Yeah, and that's amazing. You know, I mean, I can't do that.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't get into it too much. I mean, to me, it was blew my mind, but it was more show off metal to me. That's what I call it, show off metal. It's like, look
I'll
at what
be quite
I
honest, I was just more interested in his name. We used to make fun of his name all the time.
You yeah. said it so funny on the 84 episode. When you go,
what country is he from?
Switzerland, I think.
Sweden?
I don't even know. Either one of those
He's not blonde.
Swaziland.
He's from
Swahili. You have
Swahili.
To be blonde if you're from Sweden, don't you?
No, only if you have breasts. Oh, wait, that's Swiss.
Isn't everybody
Switzerland. Swedish.
Swiss cheese breasts.
Yes, that's what I prefer. Okay, was anyone still listening to Black Sabbath or starting to listen to Black Sabbath in 1986?
No.
I probably heard random albums and tracks, but I didn't know what was playing, like, you know, like I said earlier.
Here's my deal.
A lot of my family, I grew up around parties and stuff, so.
Here's my deal. Ozzy was gone. Dio was gone. I was pretty much done for a
Born
while.
Born again?
As Seventh Star.
But had you discovered Tesla yet?
Yes, which they also had an album out this year.
Was this Tony Iommi's Black Sabbath?
No, it was just Black Sabbath.
Wasn't there a Tony Iommi's Black Sabbath?
I don't think so.
I thought there was.
And speaking of Tesla, I think it was his birthday the other day. Nikola Tesla, last week.
Oh, yeah?
Because this is Monday's episode. But yeah, Tesla had mechanical resonance, which I don't know if that had the love song and...
It was all on Five Man Acoustical Jam, wasn't it?
Well, that was the one that had the sign. Yeah, well, that was a good impersonation of those guys. See, and I hadn't heard of Sepultura yet, but they had their Morbid Visions out that day.
Is that the one that has like a picture of a waterway of some sort and like a red beast or something?
I think so. And then a lot of their songs are still in... Portuguese, which is their language in Brazil.
Okay, I was just wondering where they're from.
Yeah, they're from Brazil.
So I have, you know, Roots and Chaos AD, of course.
You can tell with their accent. Metallica, this was a big one for me, Master of Puppets, because Ride the Lightning had been out. I was soaking that up. We'd been waiting, and then Cliff Burton got killed before the year was up.
Did they have
he was
an
on
called
the
Metal Up Your Ass?
No, it was just a campaign, basically. They had a T-shirt. They sent
the
lot.
T-shirts.
They had a lot of their shows. Yeah, there might like have been an underground like bootleg that was released, like a greatest hits that was called Metallica Metal Up Your Ass. I'm sure someone has done it, but nothing.
It's like the
official.
Liquid's Your Band Sucks campaign, right?
Your band.
Did they
sucks.
Perpetrate the Alcoholica shirts?
I think they did because that was how. What I was told was that was where the name came from their two greatest loves, metal and vodka. Metallica.
What's their lead singer's? Not Kirk.
James Hetfield.
Yeah, he totally looks like a drunk.
Yeah, I saw him hanging out
like 20 Miller Lights.
Dude, I saw him hanging out with Sammy Hagar.
Lars won't let him puke in his golden toilet.
No, on a diamond encrusted shark tank.
Lars's parents lived just a few miles from where I grew up, like in Crown Point, Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
wow.
like everyone knew. Oh yeah, Lars Ulrich's parent Ulrich's parents live in Crown Point.
Hate that guy.
They're a bunch of assholes. As you know, I'm kind of out of the scene of comedy, but I do have a joke that, you know, I had a Metallica song stuck in my head the other day. Band found out. Turns out I'm being sued for $3,500 in royalties.
Yeah, but that's a great one. I told that to many people after the first time I heard you tell that, because that's a great joke. Gave you credit for it, too. I didn't say, hey, listen
How
to
me.
How is
loudness?
Loudness? I saw those guys in Portland one time, and they're from Japan, and they said, hello, Portland. We are loudness, and this is Japanese metal.
At least
and
I didn't
they
say.
They were good, though. I loved those guys.
At least they didn't say, how Seattle.
How Seattle, how you do tonight, Seattle? They had an album called Lightning Strikes. That's hard to say.
And the thunder rolls.
And the lightning strikes. And the thunder rolls. The
Garth Brooks totally comes out both in 1986. Lost metal points right
I know,
there.
Garth Brooks in it out. Yeah, we had a... Do you remember, guys, remember Tankard?
No.
They were like a drinking metal band.
I've seen their name, but
Gangrene.
I've never heard them.
Yeah.
When did Gangrene come out?
There was another dude that was kind of like Yngwie. His name was Tony McAlpine. Do you guys remember him?
No. Tony McAlpine.
I see Nuclear Assault has an album on there.
Game Over.
You know, I tried to like Nuclear Assault.
Their singer was annoying, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He sang so high all
Mother's
the time.
Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Is it like, yes?
Hang the Pope. How many times can you say hang the Pope in a row? But yeah, I love that album though. Game Over. Hang the Pope.
Exhorter. You guys remember that band, Exhorter?
Yes,
they
I
had
do.
An album called Slaughter in the Vatican. Was it in 1986?
Nope. If it was, it was excluded from this list, which is pretty all inclusive for metal.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No.
Did we talk about Maiden? What was Maiden doing this time? You just ran past them a little bit.
Ran past them. They were getting into synth too. I saw.
What
them
about
on this
Death?
Tour.
Is Death on that list?
No.
Spiritual
I don't,
Healing.
It hadn't came out. Spiritual Healing was like later, like 90. I don't think Scream Bloody Gore or Leprosy didn't even come out to like 87. They were in the tape trading stages at this point, but who did you ask me about just now? Oh, Iron Maiden, Somewhere in Time. Caught Somewhere in Time. Kind of a clunker of an album. I saw him with Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Yeah.
And he had an album out too.
Called ST?
Called, yeah, self-titled.
Oh.
Vinnie Vincent Invasion. So, yeah, and Bruce Dickinson had this cool light-up jacket. It was like a vest of like leather, and he looked all cool. And then when the lights went out, it lit up, and it had light bulbs all over.
Kind of like the Pink Floyd album cover? Or?
Kinda. A little bit more metal than that, though. But.
Yeah.
Were you still listening to Motorhead at this time?
I hadn't even started listening to Motorhead.
I see Motorhead is on that list.
Though. Yes, Motorhead. What was the album?
Orgasmatron.
Now, I was introduced to Orgasmatron when Sepultura did it on the B-side of a single from the Arise album, 1991. And then I go back. And like we talked about on the 1980 episode, I don't know a lot of Motorhead. I know Ace of Spades.
Yeah, I know.
Did you have the album Bastards?
No, by Motorhead?
Motorhead.
No, I don't
the
have
song Burner?
Never had any of their stuff. That's a weird thing.
Burner is a kick-ass song.
That's kind of how I gauge sometimes if I'm actually a fan when a person asks me, hey, do you like this band? And I'll be like, well, yeah, they're all right. But I don't own any CDs by them, so I don't guess I like them that much. You know, like people ask me, you like Tool?
Stars.
You like Tool? And I was like, well, I kind of like Tool, but I never bought.
Undertow is about all I like.
Never
Tool.
Bought an album
what
of theirs.
What about this song? Did you buy this song in 1986?
Wasn't that your favorite album of the year?
Yeah.
The Final Countdown. Now, see, you know when you write a song like that it's going to be used for all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Into the game, into the year, into your life, whatever.
When I worked in public radio, they used that at the end of the Begathon. It was
See?
It was horrific. That was actually the first time I heard that song. That's
that
band
recently,
Europe, right?
Yep.
Europe.
That
Europe.
Recently, I think, has made a comeback in ironic culture.
Ironic culture.
It's ironic.
People pretend to like it.
It's ironically cool to like to jump around and be all dumb when that song comes on.
Speaking of, what if that song Jump Around, which who was the rap group that did that?
House of Pain.
Yeah.
Jump
Around.
What if that song came back?
Jump Around.
Ironically.
Well, you know, if they had any song come out, because I'm kind of familiar with that album because that was kind of around my high school days, it would be Put On Your Shit Kickers and Kicks and Shit. Because that song.
Is that a
was,
song?
Yeah, that was their song. Put On Some Shit Kickers and Kicks and Shit. And they just said
what
it
was,
over
what
and
was
over.
Like the big hit, though?
Jump Around by House of Pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear their track on Judgment Night? The Judgment Night soundtrack with Helmet?
Yeah. I have that
CD. Yeah, that
CD
was
actually.
Like
There's
the first, that was one of the first
song,
rap dude. Metal albums.
Slayer
and
Ice-T.
Dude, I know all the words to that whole, I mean, I've had that soundtrack for over almost 20 years.
Faith No More and the Booyah Tribe.
Yeah.
God, there was a lot of good
there
ones.
There was Cypress Hill and Pearl Jam.
Faith No More coming
and then
out yet with
also,
nope.
Sonic Youth with Cypress Hill with I Love You, Mary Jane.
It's weird that they got a double job on that. They were the only band that were
what
included
was,
yeah, that's true.
What was going on in Seattle in these days?
Bunch of drizzle.
Not a lot. It was raining, I think.
Yeah, and there wasn't like...
These bands that were starting were just starting to record, like Tad and Nirvana was forming, Mudhoney was forming, Green River was, you know, but none of them had...
The precursor, but I mean, there's some significant guys that
Alice
in
Chains was starting, and they were kind of glam at the time when they started.
Were they from Seattle?
Yeah.
Well, they all, a lot of those bands, when they saw the way the formula was needed to be played to go that way, you know, they just...
That's the thing, I don't really know if I agree with that. As far as the Seattle scene, I think it was more organic and it just happened.
Yeah, I mean, Nirvana, being kind of the most prominent out of it.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm not saying they all jumped the wagon or whatever, but I'm talking about,
once the cattle call started.
Have you guys ever heard of My Sister's Machine?
It wasn't that they just totally ditched their entire sound, but, they kind of changed, a little bit of the image just a bit.
Have you heard My Sister's Machine, the band?
I've heard of them.
I have.
Yeah. I've got their album Wallflower. There was a great station in Chicago called The Blaze, and they used to play My Sister's Machine.
Yeah.
They were a Seattle band that they really had that kind of depressing, grungy sound around the time that. But this was, of course, not 1986.
Yeah. Right. Do you guys remember Warlock with that chick, Doro Pesch?
I don't.
That blonde haired chick that's kind of hot. She's still around. She's like on Fuse and stuff sometimes. Doro Pesch. Anyway, they had an album. And how about. What was Van Halen doing at this time?
51.
Now, this brings up Dustin's question. Is there any song featuring Sammy Hagar with Van Halen that doesn't have love in it or is about love?
I don't think not a hit, no.
Come on, baby, finish what you started. That's about love, though.
Yeah.
So I kind of disowned Van Halen at that time, but I think my friend talked me into waiting overnight at G.I. Joe's in Salem for tickets to Van Halen, and we still got nosebleed seats. I just wanted to see Eddie and Alex and Sammy Hagar.
Tom Petty
totally
waited in line and still
up.
Got nosebleed seats.
But I love that.
My friend the other day told me that he prefers Sammy Hagar over David Lee Roth.
That guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, you're the first person in the history of Van Halen to say that.
Yeah.
I used to say that when my brother thought I was only saying it because it was the trendy thing. It's like, motherfucker, I'm not trendy. And it's just true.
Yeah.
I mean, Sammy Hagar, I can't really think of a single song that I really like that he did with Van Halen.
That's What Love Is? No. Right Here, Right Hannah.
I can't even remember.
Oh, my God.
Of.
That makes me think of Crystal Pepsi. You guys remember
How do
that
I know
shit?
Best of both worlds.
I remember it's
best.
Clear.
It was clear, and it tasted like mouthwash.
Yes.
Like the required mouthwash they'd pass around in grade school where you'd have to swish for 30 seconds.
Going to like a Sammy Hagar, a Van Hagar album, 5150 would be the one to like.
Are you sure?
Well, which one would you choose?
I don't know. I totally I disowned him at that point.
Would be the one you'd have because it's got the best of both worlds. And right now, that's the best song I could figure that.
I would say don't even do an album. Just go to YouTube and
just don't even waste your
songs.
Time.
Well, I'm not wasting my. I'm saying if you had to choose.
Well,
if you had to choose, you'd probably go to the other album that came out that year called "Eat 'Em and Smile" by David Lee Roth. Which had California Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And that weird video with him.
Yankee Rose.
Yeah. Yankee Rose, that's right.
Hey, he sings about the 4th of July.
Queensryche was putting out an album this year, too, Rage for Order.
Yeah.
Which
was that the last one before all their... Was that the last
That was before? The last one before they got into the Jet City Woman and Silent Lucidity
was
bullshit.
That the so it was the last one, last album that wasn't named Operation Mindcrime by Queensryche?
Yeah.
I see Rat on that list.
Dancing Undercover.
And they
what
were.
What songs was...
I think that had Way Cool Jr.
Dude, I mean, Back for More and Round and Round. But,
yeah,
but
Way Cool
what
Jr.
Else is
was
there?
On the last one. Or on the next one after that, that was all... Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I kind of lost Rat after Round and Round, but
Tell me why.
I see Sabotage is on there. Is
yeah, I was going to ask you guys, are you familiar with Sabotage? I don't think you were.
I like their song Edge of Thorns a lot.
We talked about them when Jerry Murphy was here before, but the one thing I did mention is the guitarist from Sabotage went on to form Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I thought one of their bands, their guitarist died in a car accident.
The other one did, yes.
I like how much like
I remember
Ryan,
when that happened. It was
why,
announced live on the radio.
Tell me why, because we covered that on the other episode.
I know, but you must be hanging like Rat does every time.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I'm sorry.
You're just like Rat.
See, now another guitar hero came out that year with Paul Gilbert with the band Racer X, Street Lethal. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but
I've heard of Racer X.
They were just another shredder band.
Did Fastway come out this year?
I think they had an album out this year.
Who's Lizzie Borden?
Oh, ask Lance Thill who Lizzie Borden is. They were a high-singing kind of thrash metal, trying to be heavier than that, but never got into them. Didn't like them.
They had songs about axes, didn't they?
I don't know if Fastway's album came around Halloween, but it was called Trick or Treat.
And Carnivore? I've never heard of Carnivore.
They were more like underground, like... I think 86 is where some bands started coming out that were a little heavier and a little more intense. Let me give you a few examples here. Carnivore, Dark Angel, Darkness Descends. It's getting towards almost death metal stuff.
I'll bet all this is on YouTube, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hellstar, a little more heavy. Creator, Pleasure to Kill. I saw another one here. Morbid Angel's first demo was going around. It wasn't released on an album yet, but it was in the tape.
What was it called?
Abominations of Desolation.
Inside the Electric Circus?
That's Wasp. That was more mainstream. But I'm talking about the bands that were more underground, like Voivod's Roar and Sodom, Obsessed by Cruelty, and Tarot and Sadus.
What about Venom?
Venom.
What were they up to at this time?
They were probably touring this year because they didn't release an album.
They were one of those bands I heard, and I was very disappointed. I thought they were going to be like badass heavy shit, but
they were just kind of
rickety basement recording crap.
Exactly. And then you had like Quiet Riot had their third album out, which kind of they didn't have another Slade cover to cover, so they didn't have a hit on that album. Because Mama Slade. Slade was the original performer for Come On Feel the Noise and Mama Mama Smooth We're All Crazy. No, that's Sade.
Sade. She's actually pretty kick ass in her own right.
Yeah, my wife loves her. Loves her. Now
she's
we talked about this before we went on the air, Cinderella's Night Song.
So does that guy Tracy Chapman.
He's pregnant.
Guy, Tracy
he's
Chapman.
Pregnant, isn't he? No, just kidding.
Is that the dude from Bend?
Yeah. No, it's a girl.
Oh, so girl that sings, gee, got a fast car.
Standing in line at the end of Bloom. I don't know.
At this point, no one knows what the fuck we're talking about.
But Dustin really loves Bon Jovi.
Oh, I know. Slippery When Wet. I did buy that album.
What was on that?
10, motherfucker.
Was that You Give Love a Bad Name?
Blaze of Glory.
Yeah, I think it was.
You Give Love
a Bad Name.
You know what I like about songs that say love in them, though, is love always rhymes with drug. So
yeah.
You Give Drugs a Bad Name.
Yep. Like, might as well addicted to drugs.
Yep.
It's like you could just point the finger at Pfizer and Merck and say, you give drugs a bad name.
Yeah, and was that one with the song Bad Venison?
Probably.
Bad Medicine. Wasn't that, who the hell was that?
That was Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Oh, okay.
Your love is like bad medicine.
My frame of reference for Bad Medicine, I remember some kid at church was like, yeah, there's this satanic band in one of their songs.
Yeah.
Bad Medicine.
Oh,
Bad
satanic.
Medicine. And I was like, wow, that sounds powerful.
That's so satanic.
Yeah. And the thing is, though,
so
is
Bon Jovi all along. Holy shit. It gets more disappointing by the
like
day.
I've said, he's just a metal version of Bruce Springsteen.
I always like Bad Venison, though.
Ooh, that gets you sick, dude.
Yeah, you don't want to eat.
Heartburn like nothing else.
Yep. And so there were some other bands that were like underground and more heavy metal, like our listeners, like Hans would be enjoying, like Candlemass with their album Epicus Dumicus Metallicus. That's an epic album right there. The Crumbsuckers, blending punk and metal before a lot of people were blending punk and metal.
The Crumbsuckers.
Like, yes. If you've never heard of them, check them out. They're DRI style, like punk metal. I call it.
Now, didn't DRI have two different things? Like, I mean, early DRI, late DRI.
Oh, yeah. They were like hardcore punk. Then they were kind of crossover for like two albums. Now they're kind of like
generic. Like Incubus. Metal. I mean, they went from being a decent band to a pussy band.
I think there was two
Incubus.
Or
is that DRI's?
I think there was two Incubuses.
I often wonder about that.
I think the Pussy Incubus band has always been pussies.
Yeah. What about my favorite metal band of all time, award-winning?
Brittany Fox?
Jethro Tull. What were they doing?
They're not on
metal band.
They won the best metal album of the year.
They beat
in
Metallica.
1987, right?
Yeah, that was one year away.
Tull. Okay.
Yeah.
Crescent of the Nave or
that
whatever.
Was bad.
It wasn't even a good Jethro Tull album, was it?
No.
You never hear about it these days.
No.
It was like they had to nod to give them an award or something, and it had to be against Metallica.
For sure. So, like I said, I don't know, we probably got about 10 more minutes or so. I would like to kind of tie it all in and let you know that, like, in 86, the albums that really made a difference to me, if you guys care, would be, like, Dark Angel, Slayer, of course, whatever that was, Raining Blood. I didn't really... King Diamond came out with Fatal Portrait, but that was just an honorable mention. But Megadeth...
still getting started in a little bit and probably just getting to the edge of radio metal.
Yep, and a lot of these, they were either on one side or the other of the spectrum to where I didn't like them. Like, Vinnie Vincent was too, and Poison were too hair, but probably Voivod was probably too heavy for me, you know?
I was listening to some Rat in those days.
Yeah, for sure. But I didn't hear of Creator until, like, 1990, maybe 89 or 1990. Yeah. And Destruction, they were putting out albums. Those were underground.
What about Dissection? Were they around back then?
I don't know. I've heard that name, but I don't know.
Yeah, Storm of the Light's Bane, black metal album.
This is before they were dissected. They were still all...
And if Super Dave was here, he'd be wanting to roll some Britney Fox. They came out with their first EP. He's like, oh, my episode, I want to have the intro from Britney Fox. And I go, is that a glam metal chick? And he goes, no, it was a band of guys that were Cinderella lookalikes. But I don't think they were Cinderella lookalikes.
So no, Britney Fox wasn't... That was a bunch of dudes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to hang their poster on your wall, otherwise
just saw the name.
It's kind of like a band that has a name in the band, but no one in the band has named that. Like Jethro Tull, I guess.
Or Marilyn Manson.
Exactly.
Well, although Marilyn Manson...
That's kind of his name, but it's not his real name. You know,
Brian Warner.
Yeah. We've talked about him. Keel had an album out, too, in Flotsam and Jetsam. Fate's Warning, and Dio had a live album.
Fate's Warning.
Do you remember those guys?
I remember the name.
Yeah. They were too... What I say prog, and somebody goes, what do you mean prog? And I go, progressive metal. I was more into like, and they were like trying to do different arty stuff. But
are most of their tracks more than like 5 minutes long?
Yeah. They have long arrangements.
Check them out.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Fate's Warning.
Fate's Warning.
Yep, so those are about all I got. I mean, I didn't like a lot of the hair
What about Gore Guts? Are they on the list?
They weren't out yet. This is 86. Gore Guts was like 90, I think they came out.
Because most of the stuff I'm thinking of is probably like 88 to 90.
It'll be more interesting for all of us, I think, once we get into the 90s to where you guys were.
Yeah, sure.
Whoever's on our show, you and Dustin. And of course, we could have Dan back again.
Oh, for sure.
But we've had a good time. I've had a good time doing this. Hopefully you can put
Thank
in
you.
Some kind of cool outro music. I don't really know what to do.
To Hell with the Devil. That's actually a really cool track.
Yeah. Striper?
Yes.
Or what about...
I just got rid of it from my MP3 having heard it so many times.
Now, do you know that they recently reformed?
What about...
For money purposes, I imagine.
Well, their album was called Born Again.
Oh, boy.
Can you believe it? Because they were broke up for a long
that's
time.
That's clever, actually, if you consider it.
Yeah, and what was the first one? Was To Hell with the Devil? Or was there one before that?
In God We Trust. Okay. That's the one I knew.
My dad tried to force those on me. I think I got into the story, and I never finished it because we got talking about something else. But, yeah, when he caught us listening to the Slayer on the way to Bible study, he said, take down your pictures. I lost my girlfriend. That whole story. And what came with that was him giving me a lot of Striper tapes.
They
sent
him free from the Bible camp.
Have you ever heard of Vengeance Rising?
Is that a band?
Vengeance Rising is a metal band. They were Christian at the time. Their lead singer has since resorted to this kind of childish Satanist wannabe kind of thing.
If you look up his name, his name's
Roger Martinez, and he's totally rebelling.
Oh, I know his brother Joey.
But actually, another kick-ass band, Mortification.
Uh-huh. Oh, I remember those
Scrolls
guys.
Of the Megaloth.
Didn't they have like drum machines?
Scrolls of the Megaloth.
Drum machine stuff, right?
They may have. I know Macabre had a drum machine.
No, they sounded like they had a drum machine. They always
had. They did on some tracks. from what I understand.
I don't believe
Sinister
that.
Slaughter?
Yep, I have that.
You should look into that.
I do. I have a friend who saw him live, and I don't think that they ever... Well, I think you said you saw him live.
I've seen him live a few times. You met Corporate Death. I smoked weed with Corporate Death, and he signed a dollar bill that I still have.
That is awesome.
Wow.
That and then awesome. I didn't get a chance to meet Nefarious or... what's the other dude's name?
Corporate Death. Or well, no, Corporate Dennis
Death,
the Menace.
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, that's right. And my friend Phil,
who plays in the band with me,
he got to meet them and gave them a DVD of our band. And they're like really cool. And they said, thanks, we'll watch it because we have to watch stupid stuff on tour and we'll watch it in the van.
They're obligated to say that when you give them a DVD.
Yeah, they probably didn't watch it.
I actually, true story, I handed Corporate Death a bowl that was cashed. Like, here, hit this, man. And he's like,
did he get pissed at you?
Well, he didn't. He's just like, oh, I don't think there's anything in there. I was like, I'm sorry. Let me actually pack a bowl for you, dude. Yeah. But yeah, this was at the Fireside
right
in Chicago.
Right after that, did he hand you a straw and go, here, threw the coke off the CD?
No, he was very gracious. This was at the Fireside in Chicago, which is the kind of place you smoke weed just out in the open.
Right.
It was an old bowling alley converted
don't
into
do that
a concert
at the,
hall.
Don't do that at the Tiger Bar in Portland.
No, they won't let you back in. That's
even
what
if you're an OMMP patient?
I'm not, though. But they didn't even
you're
ask
not,
me. I could have been.
He did.
I know. I'm going to do that.
Did you have your
Mr. One Leg?
I know. No, I didn't. All right, so we're going to round
Dude,
out
you got
with
one leg. You got one leg. All you
to hell with the devil. So, yeah, you guys, thanks for listening. I don't know what our next year is going to be. Maybe we'll delve into the 90s a little bit. I don't know.
We'll do something special.
But we're just trying to tide you guys over on Mondays.
Maybe we'll not even give you anything next Monday.
Check it out, man.
Probably will.
And then if you complain about it.
The Christian metal of the time, but still good music as you'll hear.
Yep. My dad wanted me to listen to this.
Yeah.
Listen to the voice. I mean, the voice alone.
That's inspired by Jesus. You like it, Dustin? Praise my Lord.
God's talking.
Oh, sorry. All right, you guys, thanks for listening, and tune in on Wednesday for episode 17. No, 18.
Yeah.
Shit, we're getting old.
I know.
All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Thanks to Dan for being here with us.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. You guys have a nice Monday.
Yeah. Pray on.
The devil. Hail Satan.
Podcast.com.
Do you hate sports as much as I do?
No.
No, you say. You love them? You sick fucker. Wait. Check out www.officepoolsheets.com. Printable office pools for sports fans.